Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. Running throughout his work, The Myth of Sisyphus, Albert Camus is going to articulate a standpoint having to do with truth, belief, and action and commitment that might seem to go against some of the thumbnail sketches of existentialism, or to use Camus' preferred term, absurdism, that you might find out there. So this comes up very early in the work and reappears at a number of important points. He says that the subject of this essay is the relationship between the absurd and suicide. And then he says that the principle can be established that for a man who does not cheat, what he believes to be true must determine his action. So that could appear to be sort of a throwaway line, but it's not. It's actually at the heart of Camus' entire project. Quite often, people encounter existentialist or Camusian absurdist literature, and they say, oh, the world doesn't have any meaning. It's absurd. It's meaningless. I get to do and say whatever I want because nothing matters. And that's not actually the position that Camus takes, nor, in fact, many of the other existentialist figures, even those who he criticizes. Instead, he's saying that provides us a certain set of starting conditions and a constant human condition that we're trapped within, but it's up to us to make meaning or decide upon meaning, and we also have to remain, you could say, coherent and consequential to ourselves in our thinking, our willing, our acting, our engagement with the world. So let's go back to this notion of not cheating. He says that the person ne triche pas, right, in French. They don't cut corners, they don't cheat, they don't give themselves exemptions or anything like that. So for the person, he says, who does not cheat, what they believe to be true must determine their action. You might say, well, where's this must coming from? Doesn't the absurd mean that we throw away all logic, all moral connections? No, it actually doesn't mean that. The absurd is a little bit more complex, as Camus is going to set it out. So what we believe to be true is going to determine what we do, and not just what we do in an individual circumstance, what we do in a global sense, how we conduct our lives. And thinking is also a kind of doing, isn't it? So it also has to do with what we think, how we think things out, what position we end up articulating on the absurd and our life within it. So he says, it's legitimate to wonder, clearly and without false pathos, whether a conclusion of this importance requires forsaking as rapidly as possible in incomprehensible condition. And then he says, I am speaking, of course, of men inclined to be in harmony with themselves. So he's not saying that everybody is automatically going to follow his line of reasoning. He's saying that if you're confronted with the absurd, which is what I'm talking about in this essay and exploring, at least in some of its features, and you have this inclination to be in harmony with yourself, which, by the way, is part of why we encounter absurdity, then you have to grant or acknowledge certain things that are going to follow from the human confrontation with the absurd. You can't just wish it away. You can't just ignore it. You can't just lose yourself in sort of a nihilistic pursuit, say, of mindless pleasure seeking, right? None of that would be being in harmony with yourself, even if you're not able to be in harmony with yourself, at least to drive to be in harmony with yourself. A little bit later on, he's going to say that judging something true, one must preserve it. One must keep it. So if we think that the absurd is actually the case, then if we're going to be consequent to ourselves, if we're going to follow through on our logic mercilessly, fairly, without cheating, then we can't wish the absurd away. We can't lose ourselves in any leap into faith or into the irrational or take, you know, those things or the absurd itself as somehow some liberation for us. No, instead, it makes things more complicated, more difficult for us, and we have to see it through all the way to the end. In a later passage, he is going to talk about human beings being prey to their truth. He says, there exists an obvious fact that seems utterly moral. A man is always prey to his truths. Once he has admitted them, he cannot free himself from them. One has to pay something. A man who has become conscious of the absurd is forever bound to it. A man devoid of hope and conscious of being so has ceased to belong to the future. That is natural. So he's telling us that once the absurd has actually become, you can't say entered your life, it's become a problem for you. You can't say it entered your life because it's always been there. You've just become cognizant of it. Once it's there, it would be a sort of, if we want to use a different author's term, sort of bad faith to pretend that it's not there and to try to find some overarching meaning that makes sense of everything. Instead, you have to acknowledge the absurd as it is and not try to get rid of it. A little bit later, he says, it is natural that we should strive to escape the universe of which we are the creator. All of this has significance only on account of this paradox. So on the one hand, we encounter the absurd. We have to take stock of it. On the other hand, we have a natural repugnance to it. We want to escape it, ignore it, destroy it if we possibly can. Answer is we can't. And all of that is part of our drives. But if we want to be consistent, then we have to stick with the absurd and not try to make it go away. So, like he says, we are prey to our truths. Once the absurd has gripped us, we are within the prey of that truth. Now, what does it mean to deal with the absurd? Just a little bit before that, he actually says, talking about carrying an absurd logic to its conclusion, he admits that the struggle implies a total absence of hope, a continual rejection, and a conscious dissatisfaction. Those are parts of the human response to the absurd. And he says that the absurd actually does have a meaning only insofar as it is not agreed to, right? So it's not that the world becomes totally meaningless. We actually do have a possibility. What is the absurd, though? We should remind ourselves of a key feature of the absurd. It's not that the human being is perfectly fine and not a mess of contradictions within, and then the world is what is absurd. Rather, Camus says the absurd is a triadic relation between the human being and the world and the divorce between the two. And it can happen in a lot of different ways. We don't need to go into all of that, but that's what he says is actually absurd. Now, the seeming meaninglessness or arbitrariness or disconnection of the absurd might give some people the idea that they don't need to follow through on their reasoning about it. Shouldn't they just say, oh, life is absurd, do whatever you want? Maybe lose yourself in hedonism, maybe find yourself some project to arbitrarily commit yourself to, maybe just wander around in sort of a mindless, curious state, looking at this, looking at that, maybe do something else. Maybe accumulate thousands of copies of Camus' works. All of those could be responses. Camus doesn't think that that's what taking the absurd seriously really means. Instead, we should realize that we do, in fact, have the possibility of introducing meaning. We just have to understand that it is not going to stand the test of time, and it's not going to survive unless, you know, we're very lucky, beyond our death, and it doesn't extend beyond our own agency. But we have the choice to follow through or not to follow through on the reasoning that we actually possess. So he tells us, and this is a really important passage, this is where he's beginning to discuss the absurd man and ethics. He says that there is but one moral code the absurd man can accept, the one that is not separated from God, the one that is dictated, but it so happens he lives outside that God. And then he goes on a little bit further and he says, the certainty of a God giving a meaning to life far surpasses in attractiveness the ability to behave badly with impunity. The choice would not be hard to make, but there is no choice. Both of those options are closed off. And this is where the bitterness comes in. The absurd does not liberate, it binds. It does not authorize all actions. everything is permitted does not mean that nothing is forbidden. The absurd merely confers an equivalence on the consequences of those actions. It does not recommend crime, for this would be childish, but it restores to remorse its futility. And then here's the key point. Likewise, if all experiences are indifferent, that of duty is as legitimate as any other. One can be virtuous through a whim. So if we want to follow through on the absurd, that is up to us. That is a possibility for human beings. And we can behave as decent human beings without some sort of transcendent grounding, like, you know, God's love or some sort of command or, you know, the very nature of humanity itself or what evolutionary biology teaches us. All of that we can say, that's all, you know, smoke and mirrors, but I can still choose decency for myself, to use a term that you'll see in a lot of Camus' works. So it doesn't bind. The choice of life and our conduct is still up to us, and it would have to be guided by what it is that we actually believe if we want to remain consistent, if we have that inclination of being in harmony with ourselves. Now you might say, well, I don't have that inclination, and Camus could say to you, more power to you, buddy. You go ahead and do what you want to do. I'm just telling you what if you actually do want to be consequent to yourself, if you actually do want to be coherent, this is what would be required. But I'm not binding you to that. If anything, only you can decide for yourself whether that matters to you. And so what we see here is that Camus' absurdism doesn't simply lead to a universe totally devoid of meaningful choices or requirements or actions. Those stem from us and our engagement with that world in the absurd.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.